If we're to understand what God has done for us, if we're Christians here this morning, we need to understand what our lives would have been like if we'd not become Christians, or maybe they were like this before we became Christians. And Paul is trying to stress something that we all need to get a hold of. He's writing to a church leader, and he's encouraging the church leader to stress something. Have a look at verse 8 of chapter 3. I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. We might be convinced that as Christians we need to do what is good. We might have made some New Year's resolutions, mightn't we? Or we might have grown a bit cynical about making New Year's resolutions because we know that the last time we made a New Year's resolution, it lasted for maybe a few weeks. And so we've grown cynical about that sort of resolution to change. But Paul is saying to Titus, look, stress these things. Now, what things is he wanting to stress? Have a look at verse 7. Having been justified by his grace. Sorry, verse 7. Having been justified by his grace. And he's spoken a little bit about this in the chapter 2, verse 11. Have a look at verse 11 of chapter 2. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. So the first thing we need to understand this morning is what's going to change Clive's situation, or what has changed Clive's situation if we are Christians here this morning. And it's one word, and it begins with G and ends in E. Can anybody guess what it might be? Hands up. Anybody guess? Yeah. No? No? Anybody guess? Well done, that was very brave, very brave. Anybody guess? Okay, well, don't worry, it's understandable for a bit slow this morning. Grace, grace. And a good way of learning the word grace is it's God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. It's what Jesus has done, which means that we are on the receiving end of all God's riches and kindness and love. And so that moves on to our first point this morning, which is that we're saved by God's grace, not by doing good. We're saved by God's grace, not by doing good. Have a look at verse 3. See, this is where Paul says that he was like this, and all the Christians in Crete were like this. And if we're Christians here this morning, even if we've grown up in a Christian family, and we never knew a time when we weren't Christians, this is what we're like in our sinful nature, in our bad nature. At one time, we too were foolish, like Clive. We were disobedient. We were deceived and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. We might say, well, I wasn't totally like that. You know, I wasn't, you know, before I became a Christian, I didn't hate everybody. But no, our nature was like this. This is what we're like without Christ. However good we might think we are, we have... Can you see that there? We have a dirty heart. We're unclean in God's sight, and all these are supposed to be splodges of dirt, if you'd wondered what they might be. And what do we think these are? Chains. We're enslaved. Enslaved to ourselves, living for ourselves. Enslaved by a fear of death, under the guilt of God's punishment. Foolish, disobedient. But because of God's grace, what's happened? What do we think has happened to all these things? We'll have a look at verse 5. Paul says that we were washed through rebirth by the Holy Spirit. So if we're Christians here this morning, this has happened to us. All the dirt has been washed away in God's sight. What else has happened to us? Have a look at verse 6. Well, this happened through Jesus Christ, our Savior. We've trusted in him, haven't we? Not in ourselves. We've turned away from thinking that we can get right with God by what we do. We've trusted in our Savior, Jesus Christ. And verse 7, we are justified by his grace. What does that mean? Justified. It means that God already looks on us as if we've gone through the judgment and been declared innocent. So there is no punishment, and there is no guilt, and there is no death. And we are heirs, having the hope of eternal life. We know that we're going to go to heaven. So all these things have been dealt with by the Lord Jesus Christ because of God's grace. Isn't that a wonderful thing? He's even changed our hearts. He's given us a new heart and written his law on our hearts. So isn't it wonderful to be reminded of the basis on which we do good? We're not saved by doing good. We're saved by God's grace. And as we've already been singing, that should make a difference to us. Now, I don't know, boys and girls, have you ever got so dirty? I mean, just so dirty that there's no way that you could have got yourselves clean. You came home and your mum or dad just had to put you straight in the bath. Or even more extreme, get out a hose and sort of hose you down outside because there was no way that you were going to go in. Has anybody ever been that dirty? Yeah? Do you want to tell us about it, Hugo? Briefly? No? If you want to, that's great. I'll tell you, while Hugo's thinking, I'll tell you, my mum says, so she'll verify this. When I was a kid, I used to play in the local farms with some friends of mine, and there was a big pile of cow poo, cow muck. Guess what I did? I tripped over and fell straight into it. And obviously I had to have a bath, but I smelt of cow poo for several days. Hugo, tell us, if you want to. Do you not want to? That's fine. Tell it. Find out from Hugo.
I was playing rugby for Reading Rugby, and we played a different team, and their pitches were just drenched with mud. There was not hardly any grass, and literally our boots were covered in mud all over. You can see them, and I got tackled and I just fell in the mud head first.
So you needed a bath. Yeah, or even to be hosed down before you got home. Well, that's a bit what we're like, isn't it? In God's sight, we are so mucky and dirty that God, only God can clean us. We can't clean ourselves up. It's only God's grace that can clean us up and set us free. But the question I want to ask us is, well, what for? Why did God do that for us? I mean, there's nothing particularly special about people like us, is there? We're not particularly more intelligent or more moral or noble or wealthy or whatever. We're not better than other people. But God has, out of his great kindness and love for us, chosen us and cleaned us up and given us a place in heaven. Why has he done that? Have you thought to yourself, why are you a Christian rather than somebody else? Ever thought that? For what purpose are we Christians here? Now, I want a few volunteers to help me. Those particularly who can understand what these are for, I've got no idea. I think this must be some kind of sort of toy gun. You sort of do that, yeah? I'm not sure quite what you do with that. I need somebody to come out and help me. I don't know what this is for. Just a smaller kind of toy gun, I think, you know. And this, I really have no idea what these are for. I keep seeing them lying around the place. I don't know. I think they sort of keep doors open, that kind of thing. As for this, well, I don't know what you do with these. I don't know. Can I have a few volunteers just to come out and help me? Yes, two at the back. Yeah, Hugo and Abby. Okay. And Holly. I don't know what do you do with that. Do you put it under your jumper? Do you sort of put it like that? Is that what you do? No. Come tell me, which one do you want to choose? Choose one and show us your best. So if you were given one of these, you'd know what to do with it, wouldn't you? So show us your best cricket shot. And your tennis shot. Fantastic. Oh, that was fantastic. Yeah, that was brilliant. And your best netball. No, it's supposed to go up, isn't it? Is you shoot. And what do you do? And what do you do with these? Again, I can't quite remember. You read it. So do you all want to just show us your best netball, reading, cricket, tennis things? Go for it. Hey, round of applause, everybody. Well done. Well done. Put them back. Thank you very much. So, I've got slightly behind on the slides here. So there we go. So why are we given those things? Well, why are we Christians? Why have we been saved? Well, we've been saved to do good for God. Have a look at verse 8. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things. I stress God's grace, what God has done in his kindness and his love by his Spirit through Jesus to give us the hope of eternal life. These things are to be stressed. Why? So that those who have trusted in God might be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. See, we are Christians to devote ourselves to doing what is good. The way that he puts it in chapter 2, look at verse 14. Our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. So we're not saved by doing good. We are saved to do good. And we can easily get those two things confused in our Christian life, can't we? We can easily get it the wrong way around. We can easily think, well, I'm trying hard to do what is good, and perhaps God is pleased with me more the more good I do. Or God's not bothered about me doing good. Doesn't really matter. No, we're not saved by doing good, but we are saved to do good. Let's just... So we're saved for good things to come out of our mouths. We're saved by God's grace so that we do good things. We're saved so that we walk in good ways. We're saved by God's grace so that we think good thoughts and feel or have good attitudes of heart. And we might think, well, I'm not the kind of person who can do good. I'm not very good at it. But have a look at chapter 2, verse 11. See, if we are here this morning, those who are Christians who've trusted in Jesus Christ, then this is true of us. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, all kinds of people, it means there. So the kinds of people that we are, all kinds of people. God's grace has broken into the lives of different kinds of people. And what does that grace do? It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. See, if we've received God's grace, his grace will teach us to do good. His grace will enable us. So, I don't know, maybe you've made some New Year's resolutions. Maybe like me, you sort of make resolutions every holiday and they only last for a few weeks. On what basis can we change? Well, it tells us there, doesn't it? His grace teaches us to say no to ungodliness and to be eager to do what is good. It's a heart change kind of thing, isn't it? So as we do good, it might be the good of praying for others. It might be the good of telling others about Jesus. It might be the good of being a good husband or a good wife. It might be the good of seeking to be better parents. It might be the good of trying to bring relief to those who are poor. It might be the good of serving in church. It might be the good of trying to stand for Jesus Christ at work or at the school gates. All these goods are taught by God's grace. So we must get this clear, mustn't we? It's God's grace that, having saved us, enables us to do good. You might think, well, John, why have you left all the chains on? Because we're set free, aren't we? Yes, we are set free. But can you see what it says? In this process of God's grace teaching us, verse 12, it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us. In other words, to set us free from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. In other words, as we set our minds and hearts on doing what is good because of his grace given to us in Jesus, yes, he has redeemed us, but he will continually redeem us as we seek to do good. And one day, we'll be in the perfect place, fully rescued from sin and its power. So the question is, will we set ourselves to do good? Will we trust in God's grace, knowing that we have received God's grace, and therefore work out his grace in our lives? Now, there's some babies on the way in the congregation, aren't there? I don't know whether one has arrived yet, but any day. And when there's a new baby, obviously, that new baby just wants milk, doesn't it? It wants to eat milk. You wouldn't give a new baby solid food. But when the baby had grown up to 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 or 8, that it was still on milk, we'd think that there's something a bit wrong, wouldn't we? If I was still on milk, that would be a bit concerning, wouldn't it? If I couldn't tuck into my turkey on Christmas lunch, and I said, well, can I have my bottle? It'd be a bit worrying, wouldn't it? And the way that we grow up as Christians, the way that we can cope with meat, if you like, is also by God's grace. See, the way in which we grow in being able to do what is good is by being able to feed on God's grace, even now. I'll explain what I mean. We've got some, you might think I just haven't put these away from Christmas, but actually I wanted to take us back to them, because we learned, didn't we, how God is so kind to us that he saves us. His grace comes to us, but do you know how it comes to us? It comes in a human being, in a baby born in a manger. And then we saw Mary, didn't we, who was humble enough to treasure up in her own heart the way that God works. He works in a way which is for the humble. He lifts up the humble, but those who are proud of heart, he casts down, he scatters. So we learn from the message of Christmas that God works in a very human way and a grace-filled way. Now, what does that mean? Well, the next few Sundays, we're going to be thinking about how God's grace comes to us in very human ways, through our ears. Would you believe that? God's grace comes to you through your ears. How God's grace comes to you through what you think, your mind. God's grace even comes to you through your mouth. And God's grace comes to you through what you do with your hands, or where you walk with your feet. Because we can be still like babies, can't we? Thinking that God's grace somehow is going to come straight down from heaven without us having to do anything. But Christmas teaches us that God's grace comes through human means. You might have even met grace personified and given him a hug if you'd lived at the right time. You might have heard his words in your ears or taken the food that he blessed. So the next few weeks, we're looking at what's called the means of grace. Don't worry, boys and girls, you won't be in on these, but you may want to talk about them as a family. How do we receive God's grace through our ears? His grace is spoken to us. How do we receive God's grace through our mouths? Sacramental grace as we eat the Lord's Supper. How do we receive God's grace as we serve? How do we receive God's grace so that it goes out to others and his grace is sufficient for us? So that's what we'll be looking at. But just a question to finish. Maybe we're not Christians yet here. We know we've come here this morning and we're not yet those who trust in Jesus. Well, don't expect a voice from heaven. The way God's grace comes to you is through other human beings. It's how he did it with his son. It's how he will do it with you. It will come through a friend of yours talking to you about Christian things. It will come as you ask a Christian to pray for you, with you. It will come as you come and hear a very fallible human being, me or other preachers, explain human words written down by human beings 2,000 years ago. Don't wait for a voice from heaven, because it won't come. God has spoken fully in his Son, the human being Jesus Christ. And maybe we're Christians here this morning and we're thinking, well, how can I fulfill my New Year's resolutions? How can I make progress? How can I change? Well, don't think it's going to come just by trying a bit harder and pulling up your bootstraps. You need grace, don't you? That's how you started the Christian life, wasn't it? So how are you going to keep going in the Christian life? It's by God's grace. As you listen Sunday by Sunday to God's word, as you serve in the church, as you pray, and we think, oh, but these are all things that I have to do and I feel guilty for not doing them. No, we don't sort of say to ourselves, do we? Oh, it's a shame that I need to eat. It'd be far more sort of convenient if I didn't need to eat. No, we just recognize that we need food given to us. We need God's word, the Bible, particularly on Sunday mornings. We need to be serving, exercising. So let's set our hearts most of all on receiving God's grace. I'm just going to read a verse and then we'll pray. Some words that were written about the Lord Jesus from Hebrews. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. See, we need grace every day of our lives, don't we? So let's pray for that grace now. Lord Jesus, we thank you and praise you that when you came into this world, you were full of grace and truth. Lord Jesus, we thank you that because of your death on the cross, we can be those who are blessed by your grace day by day. And Lord, we want to say sorry for ways in which we've neglected the means by which your grace comes into our lives. We pray, Lord, that we'd be those who are listening to your word in so many different ways, so we might receive your grace that way. That we might be those who draw near to the Lord's Supper and expect you to feed us spiritually. That as we serve, we'd be looking to you for grace to keep serving and know that we need others to serve us so that we receive your grace. Lord, we pray that if there's one New Year's resolution that we make today, it would be to come to you for grace. Lord, we pray that you'd strengthen us in this, individually and as a church, for the glory of Jesus alone.